The following is a lecture to Indian community, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 16th, 2010, in Santiago, Chile.
Barakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha So,
entonces,
it is described in the Vishnu Purana that there are 8,400,000 species of life. So this human life is very rare. There are 400,000 different types of human species. Maybe around 200 on this planet. And the balance on other planets. So it is not only on the Earth planet that we have the human beings. They are all over the universe. But of the 8 million forms, 8,400,000 forms, to be human being is a very rare thing. It is a very, very special birth. And especially if one is born in the holy land of India. It is even greater opportunity. Why do I say that? Because according to Vedanta Sutra, the purpose of the human life is to awaken the realization of the absolute truth. Vedanta Sutra says, Tato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you've got a human body. You are meant to utilize it for awakening knowledge of the absolute truth. So why do we say that India is the best place? It's because of Bollywood. Nahi. We say that India is the best place because throughout the ages the great sages have appeared in India. Even today, Vedavyasa is living in the Himalayan mountains. So the great acharyas, they have appeared in India. So if one takes advantage of his Indian culture, he can become the most successful person. Nowadays, we measure success by money, by power,
por poder,
by fame.
Por fama.
But do I ask you this, do these things last?
Pero yo te pregunto esto ahora.
No, they do not last.
Pero ellos creen que van a reír.
You can be a rich man today and a poor man tomorrow.
Usted puede ser un hombre rico ahora y un hombre pobre mañana.
You can be the most powerful man and tomorrow be dying of cancer. You can be the most powerful man, the most famous man today, and tomorrow everybody hates you. So what is the use of this power, money, and fame? They cannot bring lasting happiness. Do you understand? They cannot bring lasting happiness. But if one will actually reawaken one's Atma,
pero cuando uno en realidad despierta su alma,
the self within,
el ser adentro,
if you can actually understand who you are,
si ustedes en realidad pueden, conocer quiénes son,
beyond the temporary changes of body,
detrás de todos los cambios temporales de cuerpo,
and if you can master the art of actually being who you are, then you'll be the most successful, happy person in the whole universe. So, therefore, we are teaching this science. Practically, it is forgotten in the modern age. The science of self-realization. It has been handed down very carefully throughout the ages. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 2, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakalaineha mahata yoganashta parantapa. This supreme science was thus received in the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the science as it is appears to be broken. And it has to be repaired. So in this way, Krishna again spoke the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. And to give this self-realization science, so if we can understand what is this science, then we will become supremely happy. Brahma shall come tvanantam. We will achieve a spiritual happiness which goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. So one may say, well, that sounds very good, Swamiji.
Bueno, alguien puede decir, bueno, eso suena muy bien, Swamiji.
But I have a family to maintain.
Pero tengo una familia que mantener.
I've got my wife.
Tengo mi esposa.
I've got my husband.
Tengo mi esposo.
I've got my kids.
Tengo mis niños.
I got my job.
Tengo mi trabajo.
It's all I can do just to make the money to pay the bills. And now you're talking about self-realization. That's very nice for the sannyasis, but for we grihasthas, how is it possible?
Eso está muy bueno para los sannyasis, pero para nosotros grihastas, ¿cómo puede ser posible?
But I ask you, what was the ashram of Arjuna?
Pero yo les pregunto, ¿cuál es el ashram de Arjuna?
Was Arjuna a sannyasi?
¿Era Arjuna un sannyasi?
No.
No.
He was grihasta.
¿Él era un grihasta?
Was he unemployed, living in an ashram?
¿Era alguien desempleado viviendo en un ashram?
Did he have time to chant mala and pray all day long?
¿Que tenía todo el tiempo para orar y cantar mala?
No.
No.
He had a very high pressure job.
Él tenía en realidad un trabajo con mucha presión.
Can you imagine being on a battlefield with 840 million warriors? Talk about a high-pressure job. Arjuna was in the midst of the most high-pressure situation. And he had a nervous breakdown. He couldn't handle it. So Krishna brought him back to his senses. To teach him how to act within his duty in such a way that he would not be entangled in the reactions of karma. You see, there's a big difference between karma and karma yoga. That's a big difference. Doing your duty, that does not liberate you. Everyone's doing their duty. Even Osama bin Laden, he's doing his duty. Everyone's doing their duty. You see? Do they become liberated? If all you do is your karma, then you have to take the result of your karma. Sometimes by pious acts you become Indra, the king of heaven. And sometimes due to sinful acts you become an Indragopa, a tiny little germ. So simply doing your duty, that does not liberate you. Karma keeps you entangled in karma chakra. If you want liberation from karma chakra, then you have to do karma yoga.
Luego ustedes tienen que hacer karma yoga.
Karma yoga is different from karma.
Karma yoga es diferente de karma.
Karma yoga is what Arjuna did.
Karma yoga es lo que Arjuna hizo.
He performed his duty.
Él realizó su deber.
Not according to his desire.
No de acuerdo a sus deseos.
But he performed his duty for the satisfaction of Krishna.
Pero él desarrolló su deber por la satisfacción de Krishna.
So, in other words, the fruit of his duty as a warrior was offered to Krishna.
Entonces, en otras palabras, el fruto de sus actividades fue ofrecido a Krishna.
So this is the key, how to become liberated while performing your duty.
Entonces, esta es la llave de cómo volverse liberado por realizar tu...
You offer the fruit of that duty to Krishna. If by my hard work I'm maintaining a wife and family, then what does that mean? That means that wife and family, they should be engaged in the service of Krishna. In that way, by my work, I am engaging it in the service of Krishna. There is a great devotee, you may have heard his name, Bhaktivinod Thakur. He was a great Vaishnava in our Sampradaya, our line of succession. He was also an employee of the British government, very highly placed employee. He had very responsible position as magistrate,
como un magistrado,
as temple manager,
como un administrador del templo,
and his troubleshooter. When there was sometimes Hindu-Muslim clashes going on, the British would send him to solve the problem. He was a very valuable employee of the British government. But when he would come home from work, he would write so many wonderful books, essays, and songs, Vaishnava songs, you see. And he would sometimes take leave of absence from his work and go preaching in the villages. And he had a son, very, very great devotee, who became the spiritual master of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So we should never think, well, I am Grihastha, how can I become self-realized? We see so many examples of Grihasthas who became self-realized. It's like in our temple, we chant one mantra. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. He's talking about Lord Chaitanya and his four principal associates. They are known as the Pancha Tattva. They are the great leaders of the Hare Krishna movement. And every one of them was Grihastha. So don't say, I am Grihastha, how can I do? One simply has to learn from a bona fide spiritual master how to engage one's household life in the service of Krishna very nicely. In such a home, everything wonderful will be there. The last verse of Bhagavad Gita is very instructive in this connection. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna Yatra Partor Danur Dadaha Tattashir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Do any of you know Sanskrit? You studied it in college, you know the Sanskrit. This is the original language of India. Any of you know that Sanskrit? So I will translate for you. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be these things. Victory,
Victoria,
opulence,
opulencia,
extraordinary power,
poder extraordinario,
and morality.
Y moralidad.
So wouldn't you like to have this in your home?
Entonces, ¿no le gustaría usted tener esto en su
casa? Opulence, wouldn't you like to have plenty of money?
¿No le gustaría usted
with no problems, worry about paying your rent?
No hay problema con
opulence and victory.
Victoria.
You're always victorious. Everything works out very good. You have victory. In morality, that all of your children grow up with the highest moral principles, wouldn't you like them? Wherever there is Krishna Bhakti, then you will find that these things are present. Opulence, victory, extraordinary power and morality. So, we work so hard to get money, isn't it? Why not do a little work to get Krishna Bhakti every day also? Why not get up early in the morning and before you go for work, sit down with some japa mala, you see? Spend a few minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Invest some time and energy to bring Krishna Bhakti in your home. You see. Because wherever there is Krishna consciousness, everything becomes very auspicious. So who would object to practicing Krishna consciousness? It brings the greatest blessing. It brings happiness, it brings peace, it brings joy, it brings love. Everything. Wonderful. I've been practicing Krishna consciousness now for 39 years. And it's so sweet, it's so wonderful. This is the real happiness in life, you see. So we urge you all to seriously take up Krishna consciousness in your life. We can guarantee you that if you will do this, your life will become simply wonderful. The anxieties you have, no, those anxieties will be finished. You will enter into another world. Even while you remain here in Chile, you say Chile, huh? Chile.
Chile.
Chile. Okay. Even while you remain here, you will find that you're living in a different world. When you look out the window, instead of seeing Chile, you will see the energy of Krishna. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, text number
30.
Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tasyaham na panashyami satchamena pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost. Nor is he ever lost to me. So you may be feeling a little homesick from Mother India, you see. But if you can see Krishna at every minute within everything, and everything within Krishna, you will not feel you're separated from the holy land of India. Do you know that at one time the holy land of India was this entire planet? In former times, the Vedic kings ruled this entire planet. Even Chile was part of India. So actually, you're in India right now. Just the Chilean people don't realize that they're in India, you see. From Hastinapur, Namayana, what is New Delhi, the kings, Vedic kings, ruled the entire earth planet. The whole earth was like that. This planet was formerly known as Bharatvarsha. The whole planet was
Bharatvarsha.
But by the influence of the age of Kali, Bharat shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. And it's like in 47 they cut off Bangladesh, and you know, the Pakistan was cut off, reducing, cutting, smaller, smaller, smaller.
You see?
And formerly India was the whole planet Earth, you see. So, why not become reconnected with the real India? By awakening your Krishna consciousness. To see how Krishna is within every atom. How he is between every atom also. And he's even in between that also. You cannot find any place where Krishna is not present. Even within the subatomic Atma, which is a particle of indestructible, indivisible, subatomic energy, you will find Krishna is also present there. So we are simply asking you this. Kindly know who you are. And kindly be who you are. This is the universal religion. You see, in Hindu culture, we have the universal religion. We are not introducing a new sect of religion. In Hindu culture, we have the science of religion, which applies to everyone. The same science of pure bhakti was practiced by Lord Jesus Christ. Any genuine saint from any tradition, they were practicing pure bhakti. So, pure bhakti is the essence of religion. Whether you call it Christianity, Islam, this thing, that thing, Judaism, the real essence of religion is pure bhakti. Pure bhakti is one. There is one supreme being who is the source of all existence. Whether you call him Krishna, Allah, or Jehovah, there is still one supreme being who is the source of all existence. And to revive your loving relationship with that Supreme Person, that is real religion. Now some people say, well, there's no person there, it's just energy. They say it is simply the impersonal Brahman. But I ask you, is that reasonable to think the ultimate source of everything is impersonal? Is that reasonable? To help you analyze whether this is reasonable or not, I will give you an example. Just imagine that every morning I bring to your front door 1 kilo of pure gold. Now, how much is a gram going for? How many U.S. dollars? What is the price for gold now in the market? 1 gram of gold. How much U.S. dollars? Does anyone know?
$20.
Huh?
$20.
Only $20 for a gram?
Yeah. He works.
Does anybody else know?
$40
for a gram of gold?
In Chile?
No, U.S. dollars.
What? Yeah, like $40?
$40 a gram? Okay, so if it's $40 a gram, then 1 kilogram would be $40,000.
Yeah.
All right. So every day I bring you 1 kilogram of pure gold. That means every day you're $40,000 richer, you see? In 1 week, you'd have $250,000. In 1 month, you'd be a millionaire. And every day, I keep bringing you another kilo of pure gold. You would be very happy. And finally, one day, you'd say, well, Swamiji, where are you getting all this gold? And I say, well, I have a gold mine. And you say, well, how much gold do you have in that gold mine? And I say, I don't have any gold in that gold mine. Would you believe me?
¿Ustedes me creerían?
You're lying. You must have unlimited gold. How are you giving me 1 kilo every day worth $40,000 every day and you tell me you have no gold in that mine? You're lying. So this story is to make a very simple point. There is a source from which everything has come. The religious people call that God. And the atheistic scientists, they call it the origin of the universe. But everybody agrees there is an origin for all of existence. Whether you're an atheistic scientist or you're a faithful theist, everyone says, yes, there is an origin for all existence. So from that origin, we see there are so many persons. I'm a person. You're a person. Let me ask you, are you a person? Yes, are you a person? Or not? Yes, of course. For him to answer means he's a person. Everybody is a person. What's the proof? Because you experience your own existence as a person every minute. So we see there are so many persons existing that have come out of the origin of all existence. So therefore we can conclude, just as the gold mine must have gold in it, the person mind from which all these persons are coming must have a personality. You cannot get gold out of a goldless gold mine. Nor can you get personality out of a personality-less origin of existence. So that origin, it's a person. Now let me ask you this. If every day I said, how's it doing? How is it doing today? How is its job going? How is its wife and kids? Would you like to be called it? If I told you, Sarah, its red shirt is very nice. Would you like me to call you it? Or I said, my dear sir, its blue shirt is very nice. Would you like me to call you it? No. Nobody wants to be called it. So if the origin of all existence, if it has personality, do you think it appreciates being called it? No way. That origin of all existence has a personality, and therefore that origin of existence wants to be treated as a person. And that's what pure bhakti is all about. You accept that origin of all existence as a person, whether you say Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, that the name is not so important, but the principle is what's important. You accept that origin of all existence as a person. And then the question is, well, why is that person emanating all of us from himself? That's for his own pleasure. He's not doing it to make money. Because all the money is his. He's not doing it for power because all the power is his. He's not doing it for the fame because he's already all famous. So he's emanating us from himself simply for the purpose of enjoying a loving relationship with us.
Entonces él está haciendo todo esto simplemente por tener una relación amorosa con usted.
So now I've just told you why you exist.
Entonces ahora yo les digo por qué tú existes.
Not you, the material body.
No tú, es un cuerpo material.
Not you, the false ego.
No tú, el ego falso.
But you, the actual Atma within the false ego and within the body. The sole reason for your existence is to have a loving relationship with that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. And bhakti is the science of how to revive that lost loving relationship. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we are teaching the science of how to revive that lost loving relationship with the person who is the origin of all existence. And I can tell you this. If you actually begin to awaken that relationship, you are going to feel great. You're going to be so happy, you'll just be overflowing with happiness like a volcano of happiness. You will feel love for all living entities. This is described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 54. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Samaksaveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Krishna is saying, one who is thus transcendentally situated becomes absolutely ecstatic, overflowing with bliss. And thus comes to the level of Brahman. He never is in anxiety about anything. He never hankers, he never laments, he's completely happy. He's equally disposed towards every living entity, even the little ant. And in that state he achieves pure bhakti. So if you would like to learn how to come to this enlightened stage of consciousness, while you are successfully earning a living and raising your family, we will teach you how to do this. We want you to be materially successful, that's all right. But even more importantly, we want you to be spiritually successful. Because no matter how successful you are materially, that will all be finished today or tomorrow. But if you become spiritually successful, that goes on for all of eternity. On the train, in India the trains are everywhere. How many rails are there in the train? The train track, how many rails? Is it one rail? Three rails? Two rails, yes, that's right. There are two rails on the track. So we are teaching you how to live a life on two rails. Spiritual rail and material rail. If you remove one rail from that train track, what will happen to the train? That train will be derailed. So right now, the entire world civilization is a derailed civilization. Because they are only trying to run on one track, the material track. So we are bringing the other rail. You keep your material rail, that's all right. But now you bring the spiritual rail. Your train needs two rails to run. And this is confirmed in the Upanishads. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedo vayam saha avidyayam ritam tirdva vidyayam ritam ashnute. Does anybody know the translation? Sri Upanishad mantra number 11. We have any Bhakti Shastri qualified devotees here? Yes, do you know the translation? Yes. So, the Ishapan is saying, only one who can understand the process, the material process and the spiritual process side by side, can attain the full blessings of immortality. So one Indian culture means both tracks. This is what the great sages have taught. Both tracks. So I appreciate very much how nicely you all have listened. I'm seeing by your faces that you're very interested in actually what I'm saying. I'm encouraged if my Indian brothers and sisters, they're happy to hear from me about Bhagavad Gita. It gives me great happiness and joy. Because I have a home in India. I go twice a year and stay in India, in my home there in Vrindavan. I have a 10-year visa for India. So I'm going regularly to the Holy Land, you see. I remember the first time I went to India. I've been a young brahmachari, monk, for many, many years. I think I had been a brahmachari, monk, for 11 years. Practicing Krishna Bhakti in America. And then I finally got the opportunity. I got on the Air India plane. It was so nice. On the wallpaper, they had, on the inside the airplane, they had Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. I was so happy to see that. Right inside the airplane, as soon as I got on the airplane in JFK Airport in New York, there was Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill on the inside of the airplane. And I can tell you, when I landed in Delhi, I felt like I had returned to my home. And I was just in a state of ecstasy for the whole time I was there. Because I felt that in a previous lifetime I must have been living in India, practicing bhakti in India, you see. India is the land of bhakti. So even today, if there is some religious gathering, you see, thousands of people will come. Look at the Kumbh Mela, you see. It's a big thing. In India, spiritual life is very big still to this day. I have just came from Pune, where there are many engineering schools. And you know what the engineering boys did during their break between the semesters? We are building a temple right near there, near one of the university schools. It is just a construction site only. But 200 or 300 of these engineering students, they came and they camped out at the construction site. Bhakti Yoga Camp. Rising early in the morning. With wonderful prayers, glorifying the Lord before the sunrise. Chanting Japamala. You see? There are hundreds of engineering students in Pune who are practicing Krishna Bhakti with great happiness. They are top-notch engineering students. And they are top-notch devotees also, you see. They are learning the two rails system. So we encourage you all. You are, Krishna has brought you here to Chile. Kindly utilize the great advantage of your Indian birth. To revive your original relationship with that Supreme Person, the source of all existence. Krishna. Or Ram or Vishnu. See, that Supreme Person who's the source of all existence. Kindly revive your relationship with that Supreme Person. And you will be so glad that you did. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Hay preguntas? Any question? Yeah.
Thank you so much for your leadership. You said that the names are given to God are not the most important thing, but the principle that yeah. There is just one God.
Whether you address as Krishna or Ram or Vishnu, Govinda, the principle of the Supreme Person, that is the most important thing. No, but God has unlimited names. He has millions of names. Then in India they chant Vishnu Sahasranam, the thousand names of Vishnu. You see. But that is only the tip of the iceberg. Why only a thousand names? That's just the beginning. There are thousands, millions, billions, trillions. God has unlimited names. Actually, Prabhupada explains that God has no name. And he says, God has no name means he has no one particular name. Because his names are unlimited. But if there's any one name which best describes this person with unlimited names, that name is Krishna. Because Krishna means all attractive. Every name for God, that is one of his attractive features. So if we call him Krishna, that includes all the other names immediately. That's why it is stated in the Shastra, if you chant Vishnu Sahasranam, the thousand names of Vishnu, you'll get the same benefit by saying the name Ram one time. And if you chant Ram three times, you get the same benefit by saying Krishna one time. So that means when you say Krishna, you've just done 3,000 names of Vishnu. And if you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you've chanted, let's see, 4,000 names and what is that? 16,000 names of Vishnu in every mantra. And what is the daily quota our devotees chant? At least 16 malas, which is 1,728 mantras times 16,000 names of God. So any mathematicians here, what is 16,000 times 1,728? Anyone have a calculator here? Any mathematical wizards here who can run that in their brain, you see? 16,000 times 1,728. That's the benefit you get by chanting 16 rounds of japa every day. There's so much power in this Hare Krishna japa. The math I'm getting here, this couldn't be. It must be more than that. I'm getting 27,648. Let me try it again here. I'm skeptical if this is the correct number. It couldn't be right. 16,000. Wait. Oh yeah, 16,000, right? Times 1,728 equals 26,648,000 names of God. That's the benefit for what devotees do every day for their quota. 27 million names of God. Every day they are getting that benefit by chanting their japa. 27 million names. So the point is, this Hare Krishna, it's confirmed in the Kali Sansarana Upanishad. That of all the mantras that exist, and this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the most powerful, effective mantra for awakening pure love of God within this age of Kali. I'm speaking from personal experience. If you met me 40 years ago, before I became a devotee, and you saw me now, you would not believe it was the same person. Absolutely, you would say that. No way that could be the same person. This Krishna consciousness process has completely transformed me. For the better. And it will completely transform you also if you will chant every day Hare Krishna mantra. You may say, but I don't really believe that. I mean, how can I really accept it? I mean, maybe you're just giving me some hype. But I say this, the proof of the ice cream is in the eating. I can tell you, this is the best ice cream in the world, you see. Actually, the other day, where was it? In New Zealand. I was served the best ice cream I'd ever had in my whole life, you see. You may say, but I don't know if it was that good. But I guarantee, if you had tasted that ice cream, you would agree with me. There was no ice cream like that ice cream. Strawberry ice cream. Oh, it was so good. So the proof of the chanting is, the proof of the mantra is in the actual chanting, you see. If you arise early in the morning before you get into the mode of passion, and just dive deeply into Hare Krishna mantra, you go, wow, I didn't know that Krishna consciousness was this blissful. I heard it was pretty good, but I had no idea it was this good. So thank you for your question. Another question, yes. Why is it important to chant on the beads? Of course, chanting can be done anytime, and any with beads or without beads. Krishna says in the Gita, you may know that verse, chapter 9, text 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam. He says, you should always chant my name. So satatam means 24 hours. But in the modern day world, can we do 24 hours chanting? If I go to my office and I'm doing my work, and instead of doing my work, I'm just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, they may fire me, you see. So how you will do 24 hours chanting? It's difficile. So Prabhupada and the great acharyas, they have given an instruction. That if we will chant at least 16 malas every day, 1,728 repetitions, we'll get the credit for satatam kirtayanto mam, 24 hours of chanting. Another example is this. Do you leave your house if your mobile phone is not fully charged? No, I make sure my mobile phone is charged. Otherwise that important call may come in. I miss the important call. Oh my goodness. So, there's a certain amount on your mobile phone that is called a full charge. And there's a little meter that shows you whether you're fully charged or not on the mobile phone. So we have a meter that shows you if you're fully charged with bhakti for the day or not. 16 rounds is a full charge of bhakti for the day. If you've done 8 rounds, you're half charged. If you've done 16, you're full charged. You see? Therefore, 16 rounds. And the acharyas have also said on beads. So why on beads? Because those beads, the more you chant on those beads, they become imbued with bhakti shakti. Every time you chant one mala, those beads become more empowered with bhakti shakti. So just by touching those beads, you get bhakti. That's why we don't take a bead in the toilet room, you see. We treat the beads with awe and reverence. We keep them in bead bag, you see. Sacred beads, they are worshipped as sacred beads. Because they become full with bhakti shakti. And when you become initiated, your Guru Maharaj, he will give even more bhakti shakti. He will chant one mala on your bhakti, on your japa mala. He will chant one round on your beads. And then he will hand your beads to you. He will give you a spiritual name. And then those beads are fully empowered with bhakti shakti. But even then, by chanting more and more, they become more and more and more empowered with bhakti shakti. I still have the beads that Prabhupada chanted on. I've been chanting every day on those same beads for 39 years. And those beads are my most precious possession. My laptop can be stolen. It wouldn't be as bad if my japa mala was stolen. So I keep them very carefully, those japa mala. Next question. Thank you for that nice question. I appreciate it very much. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
You said that God is something personal. If that is so, what hampers you from coming down and saying this with me?
Un momento. Okay, what is his question?
When God is personal, as you state, what hampers God from coming down now and again, often and showing his visibility to us?
Yes, yes. If he is a person, what prevents him from coming down? Nothing prevents him. In fact, Krishna says, you know that shloka, that famous verse, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tanatnanam shujham yaham. Krishna does come. He came 5,000 years ago. He came again 500 years ago as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he does not personally come, he sends his representatives also, like Prabhupada. Great acharyas. And he is also present in the form of his holy name. This Hare Krishna mantra, it is called Nama Avatar. So if you want to personally associate with God every day, you simply chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna also appears in the form of Guru, who is his representative. When you come in contact with Guru, you have directly come in contact with Krishna. Because he is a transparent via medium. So don't think, if you're meeting Guru, you're not meeting Krishna. Krishna is fully present in the spiritual master. So when you meet Guru, you're meeting Krishna. He's the empowered representative. Krishna's full bhakti shakti is present in Guru Maharaj. So, if he is a bona fide devotee of Krishna. But if he says, if Guruji says, I'm Krishna, you're Krishna, and we're all Krishna, run away as fast as you can. Because there is a difference between Krishna and the devotee of Krishna. Krishna is stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivara Svarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. He doesn't say the living entity is Krishna. Of course, qualitatively, we are Krishna. Krishna is eternal. We are eternal. Krishna is full of knowledge. In our liberated state, we are full of knowledge. Krishna is full of bliss. In our liberated state, we are full of bliss. But we are the tiny, and Krishna is the big. I can bring in my hand one drop of water from the Pacific Ocean. And I can tell you, my dear sir, here is Pacific Ocean. And you will agree, yes, it is a specimen of Pacific Ocean. It is Pacific Ocean. If I say, my dear sir, here is the Pacific Ocean, you will say, you are a madman, Swamiji. The Pacific Ocean is much bigger than that, you see. So, we, each one of us, we are a tiny drop of God, you see. But we are not the complete whole. Krishna is the complete whole. And we are the little tiny sample. Krishna is the gold mine. And we are the gold nugget, you see. But the quality is the same. Eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But even though we are eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, we have, by the influence of Maya or illusion, we are thinking ourselves temporary, full of ignorance and misery. But by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we will move from the realm of temporality, ignorance, and misery to the realm of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. That is the power of this Hare Krishna chanting. This is why we're trying to turn on the whole world to this Hare Krishna mantra. Because the whole world will be happy. Thank you for your nice question. Any other questions?
So, how one can concentrate in chanting? Because most of the time, I'm chanting, so you know, my mind is thinking something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the mind is like a like a monkey, you know, running here, running there. How many of you have been to Vrindavan, India? Anyone? Yeah. You know those monkeys in Vrindavan? Oh, they're mischievous. They'll steal the glasses off of your face. And you try to hand them a banana to get your monkey back, get you the glasses back, you'll take the banana and then break your glasses. We have just seen that. Guru Mataji saw that on the visit to Vrindavan. We just saw that in Loy Bazaar. That happened. One monkey did that. He stole the glasses. When they tried to get the glasses back with banana, he take the banana, he broke the glass. So our mind is like monkey. Do you know what is a monkey? Do you know what is monkey? You've ever seen a monkey in the zoo? So the mind is like monkey. Running here, running there, stealing this, grabbing this. So what to do with that monkey mind? This is why it's recommended that you rise early in the morning and chant mala before sunrise. Because then the monkey is still asleep. Once the sun comes up, that monkey mind starts running. Rajagun, you see. Everybody becomes Rajaguni after the sun comes up, you see. But when that Rajaguni mind is sleeping before sunrise, then you can be Sattvaguni. And you can do a very nice meditation. Go deep into the mantra. But if somehow you're not able to get up early and you have to chant later on in the day, then you pray to Krishna, "My dear Lord, please bless me, I can conquer the mind and be absorbed in your names." If you beg Krishna like that, he will help you. Krishna is a person. He loves you. He's in your heart. He knows everything that's going through your life at every minute. He knows everything that's in your mind also. So if you show him a sincere desire to take shelter of his name, he will give you all blessings. So just ask Krishna to help. "My dear Lord, this monkey mind is tormenting me once again. Please save me from this rascal monkey mind." Krishna will help you. Yeah. Krishna is very kind.
Krishna is muy bondadoso.
Any other questions? Everyone satisfied now? Yes.
What mantra should I chant for concentration on studies?
What mantra should you chant to concentrate on her studies?
Yes. Yad karosi yadasnasi yad jahosi dadasi yad tapashyashi konteya tat kadushva madarpanam. Do you have the Bhagavad Gita at home? Go to chapter 9, text number 27. Your homework assignment, my dear student, is to memorize that verse in Sanskrit and whatever your native tongue is. What do you normally speak? English, Spanish?
English.
English, okay. You learn it in Sanskrit and in English. And the translation is, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So, what are austerities? Do you know what austerities are? Your studies, that's austerities. You're doing austerities every day by your studies. You see. Austerity means it's difficult, but you have to force yourself to do it. So that austerity of studying, student life. You should say, Krishna, this is for you. Please bless me, I can study in such a way that you'll be satisfied. So in this way, you can be, this mantra is the perfect thing for all the students. They can chant 927 Bhagavad Gita. Every day before you sit down with your textbooks, you just take 30 seconds and you recite that mantra in Sanskrit and English, and then you study, and your study will be very successful. Any other questions? Yes. Ananfala.
The mantra that you said,
yeah.
That Paroshi mm-hmm. Vedashnasi, I may chant and I get successful, but if I didn't offer that studies.
If my studies are simply for my material advancement, then those studies will not ultimately be successful. Those studies must be offered to Krishna, and then they will be successful. Just like Arjuna, when he was trying to fight without offering to Krishna, he became bewildered. But when he offered that fighting for Krishna, then he became successful. So if you offer your studies to Krishna, you will be successful. And whatever, if you're successful and say it's only by Krishna's mercy, not that I was a great student, it was Krishna's blessing. When you make those straight A's on your report card, don't say, yes, I am a great student. You say it was the mercy of Krishna. Give Krishna the credit for your success. That's the key. Any other questions? Yeah.
He studied, so he's interested. His Guru Maharaj told him the same thing, but like, how can he take to the practice? Like, what is the proper consciousness to do so?
What are you studying?
Electrical engineering.
So, the real result of that study will be someday you'll have a job as an electrical engineer. And they will give you money. So how will you spend that money? Do you spend it for sense gratification? Or do you spend it in Krishna's service? That's my question. Krishna's service? Then your studying is proper. Any other question? Yeah.
Prabhupada said that one who says Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra on the car will not be born again.
Prabhupada said that one who sees Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra on the cart will not be born again.
Yeah. That is a fact. Anyone who sees the Ratha Yatra festival, they will become liberated. However, if they engage in what is called Hati Snan, then their liberation will be covered over by sense gratification.
Luego su liberación será cubierta por la gratificación de los
sentidos. Do you know what is hati snan? Hati means elephant. And snan means bath. So the elephant, he bathes in the water.
Entonces, el elefante se baña en el agua.
And when he comes out of the water, what does he do to dry off?
Y cuando sale del agua, ¿qué hace para secarse?
He rolls in the dirt.
El rueda en el...
So it's a fact, by that Jagannath darshan, you become liberated.
Entonces, un hecho que por el darshan de Jagannath,
tú te... But if you sin again,
pero si pecas de nuevo,
then you begin, that spoils it.
Luego eso destruye todo.
After that darshan, then you have to remain pure, and then you are liberated. That's a bit. Therefore, we are teaching in this Hare Krishna movement how you can become pure. Chant every day Japamala, 16 rounds at least. No illicit sex. No meat eating. No intoxication. No gambling. If you follow these principles strictly, then yes, that darshan will liberate you. That's it. But otherwise, it is hati snan. Any other question? Yes? Selling alcohol?
Correct, yes.
In which restaurant?
In Buenos Aires.
They were selling what kind of alcoholic drink?
Yeah, beer they were selling. So
No. That must be stopped immediately. This should be reported to the GBC. This must immediately be stopped. What was it? Near beer or full beer?
No, not the full beer, the real beer.
Real beer. The GBC. This must immediately be stopped. The GBC should be called. The GBC should be informed of this, and immediately it must be stopped.
Actually, when we asked them, right, they told us that for us it's important. Prabhupada said that for people who are coming in, they said if people come in. They ask for beer, but we'll give them beer, then they will eat prasadam.
That's interesting.
Our food is offered. That is what they said.
Actually, you know this, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that they could serve meat to get people to come hear about Krishna. But Prabhupada never had us do them.
Actually, that was in the two restaurants we went, and they were
selling. There is a philosophical principle, but still it should not be done. It creates too much disturbance. There is because Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that they could serve meat to get people to come hear about Krishna. It's so important to hear about Krishna. The principle is valid, but still it creates too much disturbance and it should not be done. So I agree with you completely. That should not be done. Are they still doing that?
Yeah.
Is it the temple or some independent restaurant?
Independent.
Yeah. That's not the temple. That's one household or running a business. Then, that's not the movement. The movement would never do that. That's some household who has his own independent business. That's not the movement doing that. That's one individual is doing his own thing. You understand? Different. In a temple restaurant, they would never do them. It's like there's a restaurant here in Santiago. They would never do them, you see. That's one individual devotee who's not very strict. You see, he's doing that for money. So it's not a good thing, but the movement is not doing that. Definitely not doing. That's one individual person who's just doing his own independent thing. Yeah. But
I don't want to come, I want beer.
He's singing as a businessman, not as a devotee. But the thing is, he's not, his understanding is not correct, because if you actually, Krishna will bless you wherever there is, wherever Narayan is present, you see. Lakshmiji, she is money, you see. Lakshmiji, that is money. She is a goddess of fortune. So wherever there is Narayan, isn't Lakshmi always there, is massaging Narayan's feet? So I don't have to compromise my principles to make money. If I just serve pure Krishna Prasad restaurant, then Lakshmi will automatically come, you see. This devotee is not very intelligent. He's thinking like a mundane businessman. He's not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. So I feel sorry for the poor fool, you see. Getting the karma of selling beer is not very good. He's foolish to do that.
And he was secretary for Swami Jayaprathas. Swami for 4 years.
He was secretary for Jayaprathas Maharaj.
He was, but he's no longer.
4 years he was.
Why was he released from that position? He's no, why is he no longer secretary? It's very not very intelligent.
It was in two restaurants we went.
Huh?
It was in two restaurants, two different restaurants.
They both sell beer?
Yeah. He was offering the prasadam in front of us.
It's not a very intelligent thing. It's foolish. I don't know why he's so foolish, man, to do that. I can see why he's no longer the secretary for Jayaprathas Goswami. He's foolish. He's foolish, man. Anything else?
Yeah, he's from Buenos Aires, and he says that those devotees are not like related to the movement.
They're not part of ISKCON. They're not doing it with the permission of ISKCON. They're acting outside of ISKCON. Yeah, that's right. So preach, so we should try to save him. Preach, if some devotee falls in the mind like that, you have to preach to him and try to save him. Yes.
To my past activities, I'm too much attached to sense gratification. What can I do?
What kind of activities one did in the past to be attached to sense gratification?
Due to his past activities, he is attached to sense gratification.
You?
Yes.
Are attached to sense gratification? Yeah. So, just like sometimes you have an itch. Itch? You want to scratch it? What happens if you scratch the itch?
It gets worse.
So when you have, the itching is there, just tolerate it, don't touch it. If you feel an itching desire for sense gratification, just tolerate it, don't give in to it. And then it'll go away. Okay, I think we've spent enough time on this wonderful subject matter. We invite everybody tomorrow. I'll be giving lecture twice at the temple, the morning Bhagavatam class and the evening Bhagavad Gita lecture. So I invite everyone to come and attend the lecture tomorrow, the two lectures tomorrow. And then on Monday I'll be gone, going up to Peru and then to the U.S. So this is, tomorrow's my last day I'll be lecturing here in Santiago. So please come, bring your friends, bring your neighbors, bring your relatives. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.